Proposition 123 was narrowly passed by voters as a way to inject millions more dollars into Arizona's K-12 education system without Governor Doug Ducey having to violate his philosophy of not raising taxes. But the governor's plan involved taking money from the state land trust, and now a federal judge says that method is unconstitutional. So what's next and what could happen to all those millions? We turn to Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services to find out. Good morning, Mr. Fisher.
Good morning. Yes, there's hundreds of millions of dollars at stake here and some interesting legal questions.
Well, so Howie, what was Judge Neil Wake's reasoning on his ruling?
Here's the back story. When Arizona became a state in 1912, the federal government gave it about 10 million acres of land to be held in trust for a bunch of beneficiaries, mainly the schools. The idea was, here's the land, you can lease it, you can sell it, and what you'll do is you'll use the interest from the trust to help support education. Seems real simple. What Proposition 123 did is it actually went into what they call the corpus of the trust and took out more than the interest. The idea was, well, we can get all this money into education. Now, if I were a cynical person, which you know, of course I'm not, I would say, so let me see if I got this right. We're taking money from that belongs to education to give it to education to settle a lawsuit for having not funded the inflation that we should have funded all along. It went through anyway, and the legislature put it on the ballot, and as you point out, the voters narrowly approved it. But here's the thing. Lawmakers were warned by several people, including State Treasurer Jeff DeWitt, that you cannot touch the corpus of the trust without Congress amending the Enabling Act. And they said, oh, no problem. You know, we've got plenty of permission. And what happened, obviously, yesterday was Judge Neil Wake said, can't do that. Didn't have Enabling Act. Now, the complicating factor is that the legislature, the state, perhaps sensing they were going to get rolled over, actually got Congress to put a tiny little provision in a bill that became law on March 23rd that said, we're okay with you doing what you did.
Howie, that was the oddest part. That was the oddest part of the whole situation to me, was that Attorney Mike Liberti for Governor Ducey said, well, it's already taken care of by Congress. How did that end up happening?
Well, let's just say that I think that the folks in the Ducey administration knew from briefings exactly what Judge Wake was considering. He is a very strict constructionist, a very conservative judge. And I think he said, if this is what is required, this is what I'm going to rule. So they went in and they got essentially a 19-line amendment in this multi-page bill saying, you remember when voters did this back in 2016? We think it's okay. Well, that's fine going forward. But it still leaves the question of what about the $344 million that's already gone out? And that's what's going to be the next step on this.
Has Judge Wake signaled which way he's going? Has the plaintiff who filed this suit signaled whether he really wants to push for that? Because from what we've read, he was someone who is an education supporter. And take away $344 million, what does that do to the K-12 system again?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't think you can get it back from the schools. The question is the state, which made the payment to the schools, liable? And then, of course, if that has to come out of the general fund, what doesn't get funded? You know, very clearly, if Judge Wake decides that there needs to be a refund, we know this will go to the Ninth Circuit. You know, the state will argue, well, look, all the education groups supported this. But Wake, in a very clear statement, says it doesn't matter if the AEA and the School Boards Association, the school business officials all supported it, because the purpose of the Enabling Act provisions to protect the trust was to prohibit this kind of collusion where everyone does a wink and a nod and says, oh, it's okay if we take the money. And you still have the question, even if this is all ruled legal, you have the political question that Jeff DeWitt raised in the first place, which is if you take more money out of the corpus of the trust now, after 10 years, there's going to be less money in the corpus, which means less money for education after 2025. And everyone seems to be sort of squinting and saying, oh, we'll deal with that in 2025.
Howie, give me a brief answer on this next one, would you? Governor Ducey has signed the Prop 301 extension into law. But again, that is just the money that has been there already. What are you seeing as far as what's next for K-12 funding? Are we still going to see, presumably, obviously, teachers are going to be out there clamoring for more. Is there any appetite for that down at the Capitol right now in an election year after the governor signed 301, which a lot of us didn't expect him to do until a lot of pressure was born?
Well, there is some money in the governor's budget to restore funding that was cut from what they call soft capital books and computers and such. And there is some money for school construction. And of course, the second year of that 2% pay hike. I don't think you're going to see much more coming out of the legislature this year, although, as you point out, there's a lot of political pressure. I don't think we would have gotten the extension vote on the 301 had it not been the Red for Ed groups and not for the student groups. So it's hard to say. This governor knows his one real key Achilles heel is education, and if he doesn't produce, he's a one-term governor.
Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Howie, thanks as always.
Glad to be here.